Counterspin Media presents Kelvin Alp on assignment in Operacja Moskva. Dispatch number 6. Postscript. Conversation with Russia Hardcore's Tim Kirby.
Good evening, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Tim Kirby Russia. Today we have a mega guest. We have Kelvin Alp with us, who actually is just returning from Moscow. In fact, I was just watching your Operation Moscow series on your channel, Counterspin Media. So could you tell us, Kelvin, what brought you to Moscow? What is this whole series of videos, Operation Moscow, about? Tell our audience what's your mission here.
Operation Moscow is basically dispatches we sent from Russia about our experience there. We were invited over to Russia. In fact, I think, because the Russians are not stupid. They've got intelligence all over the world. They know who's basically pushing mainstream media lies and narratives and who actually is out there to genuinely get to the truth. They decided Counterspin Media, of all the ones in New Zealand, was the one most likely to tell the truth as they saw it. We've also got a critical eye. We're fanboys of no one. Now we'll hold all sides to account because it's the truth at the end of the day we want to get to. Hence, that's why we did the dispatches as I'm experiencing the trip. And it's been a very, very worthwhile one at that.
And so what did you sort of, uncover here? You went to the Russophiles Forum, as did I. A mutual friend of ours kind of introduced me to you. So what was your impression of this event? Was this something that was maybe eye-opening for you, or was this your usual sort of a bunch of bureaucrats and fantastic ties get together and say nice things and the world just goes on?
I thought it was actually eye-opening in some ways. Some of the speakers were like watching paint dry, I have to admit. There were some delegates who were fascinating, and what they had to say really rung true. The massive pushback against the what they call the globalist elite, which really should be deleting them, formerly known as internationalists, where they are basically trying to reshape the world into a utopia that suits them, and the rest of us useless eaters are basically either marked for destruction or subjugation. And I found that most of the information and most of the real talk was between the breaks and at the receptions. Mm-hmm. Well, not so much when you're getting the guests up there speaking about things.
Yeah.
There was a lot of notable people, like Sergei Lavrov, a foreign minister for the Russian Federation. Outstanding. He's a consummate diplomat. He very strong, very knowledgeable, and highly intelligent man. there was Pepe from Brazil, of course, the media man. He was fantastic. He shared his views on how media could be combated, the mainstream media could be combated. What we have to be wary of on our side of the equation is what David Icke, I think, coins the mainstream alternative media, where they provide just enough truth for you to be sucked in, but then they redirect you back to the hands of the globalists, like we've seen in our...
And who would that be? Are you talking about something like a Vice News or a Vox, or are you talking about something else?
There's actually a long list of them. Here in New Zealand, we have them in abundance. You know, everyone come out during COVID and everyone's sort of like anti-mandates and all that, which we all were, because we knew the whole thing was a scam. And the greatest injury being done is the bioweapon, which is the jab. There was no such thing as COVID. The whole thing was mapped out through SPARS, an exercise that was done prior to that, Event 201, and that's coming as well. So I think the alternative media needs a shake-up. People need to shop around. Like, we're not claiming, unlike our former Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who claimed to be the one source of truth.
Yeah.
That was a recipe for disaster. But people got sucked into it, you know. So we tell people, shop around, listen to what we say, check it, believe nothing we say. You know, don't believe anything blindly. You question everything, especially if it comes from someone in authority. And then you will find a baseline common denominator of who you can trust and who you can't. We don't care about being first to a story. We care about getting it right. So when people have shopped around, they've got all the opinions of a breaking news story, we will then give our take on it based on facts and evidence. That's what we deal with, facts and evidence. I'd like to be able to lay out a lot of things I know or believe I know, but I need the facts and evidence to back it in order to make a stand. Otherwise, I'll just risk looking like a fool.
Well, actually, then you probably had the opportunity to really discuss, especially a lot of COVID-related issues with people from around the world, and especially within Russia. Was there anything kind of eye-opening? Because I actually find that generally in the alternative media, how things actually looked within Russia during COVID were very different, and it also really depended on which state you were in. So anyways, was there anything sort of revelations from other people that you heard, especially during the coffee breaks, as you said?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of off-the-record chats, which was where we get a lot of intel. So we can then now explore that and find other avenues to corroborate before we bring anything out. So we never give up any sources. But one thing that astounded me is that they said Russia locked down for 2 weeks only, and most people didn't adhere to it anyway. It was basically just an international box check that they created their own vaccine.
Yeah.
And obviously it wasn't the death shot, because they actually care about their people. And when you line your officials up and jab them first before you inflict it on anyone else, you know that's good leadership. Yeah. Over here, the government gave themselves and their friends 11,000 exemptions, while the rest of the population were encouraged and coerced to get jabbed. And in this country, we've got excess all-cause mortality rates now. Turbo cancer is going through the roof. People dying suddenly, as you know, that's a worldwide phenomenon. And the experts seem baffled. Well, it's funny, that's only started since your jab rollout, so 2 and 2 does make 4 in this case.
Interesting. And so when you were in Russia, did you get the feeling that maybe Russia has sort of, as a country, has sort of is either in the process of escaping or has escaped sort of this globalist grasp, as Alex Jones might put it? I did notice you were on his show pretty recently, did quite a good job. So good for you, real feather in your cap there. Mr. Jones is a legend. But do you think that that's happening? Because a lot of the alternative media, again, they kind of paint the picture that, well, you know, actually Putin, he's in on it. He's part of the machine too. The entire war between Russia and America, or, you know, it's actually sort of a fake conflict. They're all part of the globalist agenda. I mean, Russia does have a privatized central bank, blah, blah, blah.
You know, there's a, I mean, if you're going to take a country from being completely and utterly ruled by globalists to being free, it does take steps. And sometimes those steps have to be incremental. I mean, that's how they took our rights and freedoms over the decades. Mm-hmm. Slowly but surely, increment by increment, they said it was for our own safety. They made it sound good. But before we knew it, all those things combined created the prison cell. I think Russia, of all places, seems to be the vanguard in holding the line and actually pushing back. It's not just in a stagnation. It's actually moving forward. And I was very impressed with what I saw there. I really was.
No, and that's kind of why I've been trying to be involved with actually helping people to immigrate to Russia. But I'll tell you what, man, if there's one thing, if you wanted to live with a society that has closed borders, it is here. It is very hard to get people to go over the line. So anyways, of the people you sort of spoke to here in Moscow, so besides some stuff related to COVID, what were maybe some other revelations that you featured in your Operation Moscow series to perhaps entice some other people to go to your site and check out this series?
Well, we talked to the fascinating thing about it, because you had, what, 70 countries represented there, and I think there's 142 involved in the periphery with the Russophile movement. And speaking to people from countries that you very rarely ever hear on the news, and if you do, it's usually bad news, and that's usually part of an agenda to soften up the people's mindset or shape their reality in order to then implement things to make it more palatable for the people at home. That's basically entertainment for stupid people is what most mainstream media is. But I found it fascinating to talk to people from those countries, you know, Dakar and Senegal, Mali and all that. I mean, even the Mali delegation, I spoke to one of them, and they confirm what we all knew. You know, pharmaceutical companies use African countries to experiment on with their vaccines and all sorts of trials, where they already have their scientific research already, even before they've done the trial, to say everything's fine, safe, it's obviously something else that's caused the problems, and they basically get the best results money can buy. Unfortunately, I mean, we can blame the globalists all we like. We can blame the Satanists. We can blame, you know, the old Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Kissingers, and all those Chicago, you know, Committee of 300. You know, we can do a long list. But at the end of the day, none of that gets into our borders and gets inflicted on our people without puppet politicians who are bought and paid for political whores.
Very, very true. That is That's actually a very good way of putting it, because it is really, because no matter what they say, the sort of, I don't even know how to put it, but basically the paper bureaucracy of any country's system, it still requires the stamps, it still requires the signatures to make all this stuff happen. And I never quite put it, or thought about it quite in that way, but I think you're on to something there. Now, on more of a maybe sort of, I don't know what you'd want to call it, like casual level, did the visuals of Moscow and Russia match up to what you were expecting, or did you have sort of a different picture in your mind? Kind of going back to the whole Tucker Carlson's mind was blown that there's actually buildings here, you know?
Yeah. Funny you should say that, because as you know, we in our side of the world are brought up that Russia's bad, and every movie Russia's the bad guy. If there's some mafia, it's the Russian mafia doing all sorts of things in the background, you know, trafficking and drugging and all that sort of thing. But when I got there, none of that rung true. I walked around in Moscow for 3.5 hours. I just started to walk myself 3.5 hours through underpasses, alleyways, back streets, just to experience it and see if I was going to get mugged or, you know, kidnapped or held for ransom and sold back to my country. Not that you know, this government would have me back in a hurry.
Yeah, they might not want to buy you, man. I think you're...
They'd be glad to get rid of me.
I'll put it this way. You know, I tried to do some research on you, man, and you have the honor of having a Wikipedia page that seems completely written by some government agent clowns.
Ah, so, I tell you, I often go to Wikipedia just to see what I'm doing next. These people are writing things for me. And yet I could blow the hole in them with facts and evidence, but they don't care about that. I mean, no. So long as the normal sheep mentality look at it, believe it, and then they pass it on. They just regurgitate. Because a lie becomes truth by way of repetition.
Yeah.
I mean, people then start propagating it. Everyone starts to believe it. And before you know it, you've done something you never have. You've had things ascribed to you that you've never done. Yeah. Hey, if I'm causing them that much of a problem where they have to go to those lengths, then I'm doing a damn good job.
And I think what you just mentioned is sort of the strength of, like, the sort of core strength of the dinosaur media, because people like to sort of look at things and look at, from an American standpoint, you know, like CNN has terrible ratings. Fox News, the ratings for Fox News aren't really that great, but they seem to have more television ratings than all the other ones put together. You factor in a lot of their YouTube views and all this stuff, and the picture is very similar, not particularly great. But they're really the people who ultimately determine the way that history is sort of interpreted. They really set the talking points. They frame everything. So as long as they kind of still exist, even if literally no one watched them, they would probably still possess that ability. And that's what really makes the mainstream media dangerous. They can, going back to what you said even about yourself, that, or myself or whoever, they can create an image of someone, and then that image is essentially the default image that has to be broken down and defeated by the alternative media, making sort of that job for us eternally difficult. But anyways, I kind of cut you off because you were mentioning that you were doing a social experiment to see if you get mugged. I assume that didn't happen.
No, it didn't. In fact, I couldn't believe it. I mean, the people there were so nice. I mean, you hear about, oh, Russians, they're arrogant, you know, they always sound like they're angry and that. There were some very, very nice people there. I mean, I went to walk into a market. I mean, I couldn't read, I couldn't understand Russian if I fell over it. I could see the little symbols in that, but I didn't know where I was or what I was doing, but I was just aimlessly walking around, and I had a lot of people actually offer help. You know, even people who couldn't speak English and I couldn't speak Russian, we somehow managed to dialogue through just expressions and hand signals, and I had really cracked lips. Yeah. And I went to a market to try and get some lip balm, and I first thing I said, do you speak English? And they were like,
no.
So I went, oh, shit. And I went, like, you know, and then they got right, and they took me to it and got me it. And it was, I tell you what, it's the best lip balm I've ever had. Within 2 days, it had cleared up and healed it almost immediately. So I want to know what that is and bulk bring that into the country. That's
well,
for sure.
Well, if you send me a picture later, I can break it down for you. Some people like the kind that comes from Vietnam. Ironically, a country that's not cold. The Vietnamese one works really good. But wow, that's kind of interesting. And yeah, generally, you'd actually be really surprised, man, because like, despite the way things are going, Russians are still very much in the belief that if they keep sort of the lines of dialogue open and they can keep some contact with people from foreign countries, they won't be able to sort of be isolated, demonized, and then put under the target for some sort of apocalyptic Third World War, or potentially Fourth World War, if the Third World War is sort of already kind of begun in a soft way. So that's pretty much in line. People really want this all to smooth out and blow over.
And I've noticed that too, because we actively seek alternative sources of information. We, of course, unfortunately, we must watch the mainstream to get their slant on things, but we know ahead of time that it's usually pushing a particular narrative to shape public opinion, to enable them to, you know, implement whatever agenda they wish to make it more palatable for people. But I noticed the difference between the Western, we're going to basically bring Russia to heel and we're going to make them bow and all that sort of stuff, and then Russia's over there saying, hang on a minute, we have actually started no wars. We're taking back what's ours. We're stopping these people having US-funded biolabs in their country that's infecting everyone else. We're stopping the corruption, the money laundering, blah, 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 blah. And we're actually protecting the people there. The West is all about, no, Russia's, you know, they're the aggressor. They're the ones attacking and all that. But, I mean, if you have a look, especially coming from the US, that's like the pot calling the kettle black. These people have started CIA, you know, orange color revolutions all over the world. They've had regime change. They've attacked. They've undermined. They've diverted, and all for a few to get filthy rich and take advantage of those populations of those particular countries, where Russia has not. So if you're going to compare the two, I think Russia is the saint and the sinner is the US. And that's not US people, because a lot of the US people are absolutely filthy on what their government's doing and carrying out all over the world. In fact, they just want it to stop.
I'll put it this way. If you look throughout American history, you don't find too many protests for wars.
That's right.
Very, very few. And you don't find too many people who won the presidency because they went on a war platform. Maybe when George Bush Jr. Was for his second term, he kind of had this rhetoric of, well, we're kind of in a war and you can't change leaders during the war. So I don't know if that's a
war that they started.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
A war that they particularly started.
That they started.
I mean, that's what
exactly.
they do. Yeah.
Yeah. I started.
They brought down their own bloody buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they brought down their own buildings in 9/11. Everyone knows this. I mean, it's you have to be basically an information retard not to realize that was an inside job. I mean, the physics didn't match up. Nothing matched up about it. I mean, you don't take over a plane with box cutters, you know what I mean? Especially with the armed air marshals they have on those things. It's just ridiculous. And yet people still bought it because it was what we call the layer effect. In intelligence circles, what happens is that they will show you a harrowing image, and then they make your mind or common sense be displaced in order for them to then implant a belief system. So they give you the shock and awe. Your mind quickly opens up as it looks, wondering what the hell's going on. You're trying to make sense of it. Yeah. Then they tell you what you're looking at, and as your mind closes around that, they then constantly, time and time again, repeat the same thing, and then it becomes ingrained, and it's very hard to move that. And you see that in the populations of most countries now. They have a tough job coming away from the trusting the government and all the lies they've been told to someone fresh coming out and saying, look, it's a lie. And they shine, and then in fact they will protect the system and they will attack you because it makes them feel uncomfortable that A, they got sucked in to start with, and B, that they couldn't believe that a government would do this. Well, newsflash, it does happen, and it's continuously happening.
Well, that's one thing where Russians have a little bit of an immunization, sorry for the pun, in terms of that kind of stuff, because people were ruled by the Bolsheviks here. The Bolsheviks did a lot of bad stuff. Because that's one thing, is if you sort of look at the sort of the grand scheme of things, of some sort of like, I don't know, inter-ethnic hatred towards Russians, most of it really boils down to that early, you know, early revolutionary Bolshevik period. That's sort of when all the bad deeds were done. And that's why Putin, on numerous occasions, made the point that, in his opinion, and based on what some other researchers say, about 85% 5% of the actual Bolshevik leadership wasn't ethnically Russian anyway. So trying to kind of smooth out that part of history, because before that, Russia had a much better track record that people aren't too worried about. But one problem that I see here when I do talk to people in Russia is, even though in a lot of ways in Russia we're sort of trying to lead this multipolar world or this change or move away from the grasp of these globalists, whenever you talk to people here about how we can do anything or make changes, everything... you ask someone, does bureaucracy work? Do bureaucrats in Russia work? Is this effective? No. You ask them for some sort of solution or new ideas, they're all bureaucratic. It's like, guys, it's the whole Russian bureaucracy stereotype is unfortunately very real. And it kind of, when you think about it, it's hard to find solutions for the 21st century that aren't bureaucratic. So I'm going back to a time before bureaucracy. Yeah. I guess people are too distrusting, or we've been too sucked in for too long, this mentality. I don't know. Do you agree about that, that bureaucracy is a sort of blight on man in the 21st century, or is it perhaps something that's just sort of a necessary evil?
I think bureaucracy has been built up over decades, and the problem we have is that they've implanted people in specific positions like gatekeepers all along. I mean, over here in New Zealand, for example, we have them in our institutions, we have them in government, we have them in public service, we have them in the schooling system, and everyone is teaching the same lockstep thing, and it's to basically create a yes man mentality in our population, where you just go along to get along. You know, the fight's too big, we should just lay low and let someone else deal with it. Well, that's never going to change anything, and the bureaucracy over here is filthy. It's overpaid, it runs the show. Our puppet politicians are just that, they're window dressing. They get told what to do by the think tanks, and that comes from overseas, we know that. Even the latest ones after our recent election, everyone thought, yay, we're getting a new leadership in, and we told everyone prior to the election, if you vote them in, instead of someone completely different and from the outside, you're going to have exactly the same thing. And boy, are they getting voters' remorse now as these people push the globalist agenda even more. They've just given another $26 million to Ukraine. That brings the total up to about $100 million. For a small country like this, that's huge, especially when we've got people who are homeless here and have got enough problems of our own dealing with the jab injured and that the government still won't acknowledge, because, let's face it, they agreed when they purchased through the Pfizer agreement that... there was no long-term safety studies done on it, and they admitted it. So it's just a biggest belief that we can actually have a type of government that is not there for its people. It serves foreign masters, and we cannot dislodge them. It's like a two-horse race. Mm-hmm. We get sick of one because they're destroying our lives. So then we vote a new lot in, and then they continue with the agenda and destroy our lives.
Yeah.
The common denominator is they're all destroying our lives. And you'd think people would learn, but they just don't. They've got such short memories, and they get sucked into the big sales pitch. It's like a sales pitch, you know, it's advertising, like on TV, selling a product. That's all they're doing. They're selling a face, trying to make them look like the common man, where most of these people are filthy rich and wouldn't know what a hard day's work was in their life. And we have that in abundance here. It is complete. We need to decentralize, put it back, power back into the local communities, local solutions for local problems, and the only thing the central government should do is deal with the outside world and make sure we have the common defense and common policing, or we could even decentralize that too.
Now, because one thing, while talking to someone from New Zealand, I've heard from many people over the years, and again, this sort of goes into your society being destroyed, is housing really as expensive as people say? I mean, people are telling me that like a dinky little house in New Zealand can cost like $1 million US. Is that an exaggeration, or
That's probably in some areas that's an understatement.
Really?
Over here, most people now could never get into property. See, the agenda here is to get rid of private property rights. They don't want that. Local councils are rating people out of existence. No longer do you have a land value, you have a capital value, which allows them to rate you more. And when you've got beneficiaries or you've got retired people on very low incomes, the rates basically kills them and forces them to sell their property. And this is the agenda. They do not want people having private property rights. They want everyone depending on the state, and then the state then controls, because you will not bite the hand that feeds you. So this is what's happening in this country and other countries around the world. In fact, the Western world, we'll call it the West, I don't know where the hell we start the demarcation from, but it's been destroyed. It has been completely flipped on its head. We used to call Russia and China and all these people communists, but the West is going full-blown socialist Marxist. There's no two ways about it. And we have it in this country. It's just coming like a freight train, and people are wondering how to stop it.
Yeah, the attacks on private property are insane. And so many people about not understanding is, like, when you go from America where people are paying four, five, six more thousands and thousands of dollars in taxes just to keep their own home, you realize that kind of private property is essentially dead when you have that sort of setup. But anyways, one last question. So this is a final question, and I thank you very much for giving me some time in the morning. In the morning, my brain doesn't work, so I always appreciate when other people can give me such an indulgence. But so the thing is, what do you think this Russophile movement should do? So we have this movement. They've had two major meetings, which got a lot of hype. Their membership is growing. What should this organization do? What should be the point? How can it actually achieve some sort of goal that will be of value?
Be honest. Be true to the vision. Practice what you preach. Because while we're over there, of course, like I said, I'm not a fanboy of anybody. I will hold everyone to account. Mm-hmm. I love what the Russians had to say. They came across as genuine, and you could feel it. You could feel that it was genuine. The Chinese delegation, when he's talking about mutual benefit, which is great, mm-hmm. said all the right things. But I still have questions around that. Does mutual benefit, does that extend to the Uyghurs, 2 million Uyghurs that are locked up over there and having organs harvested from them? Mm. What about the slave labor to build Western products, to amass foreign reserves and then loan back to the Western governments to control their politicians? Does it extend to all of that? If not, then there's something seriously needs to be readjusted and fine-tuned there. Mm-hmm. Then there's a few countries as well that also need to take a leaf out of Russia's book and actually start doing what they say they're going to do, as opposed to just the fluffy words like we always hear and actually get no real delivery services at the end. So I'd tell them to look at that. And if China's really starting to be honest about this, because remember, back George Soros said a long time ago that after they collapse the West, which is what they're doing now with the US dollar and the sovereign debt in the world in total meltdown, he said they're going to then pick China to lead the world. Is this another ruse to make people believe, hey, we've finally got something that's coming up on behalf of the people, and yet we're going to be enslaved again? That's the question now I'm investigating, because I'm not liking some of what I see, especially that Belt and Road Initiative. We don't like it here. Australians didn't like it there. And all the people who would not budge and give up property for this massive highway or road to go suddenly have forest fires and floods. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself the question, what the hell is going on? And how do we surgically remove these parasites and let the real, genuine people come through?
All right. Kelvin Alp, thank you very much for your time. And counterspinmedia.com. Friends, go there, check it out. Great site, great videos. And I wish you the best, sir. Hope to talk to you in the near future.
Counterspinmedia.com. Where lies come to die.